Well, welcome to the gathering, and for those of you listening by podcast, we want to say a big welcome, and we're going to jump into tonight's lesson, Understanding God's Nature. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you're a good God, and thank you for, Lord, just your love and how you reach out to us and cheer us on and touch our hearts. And so open our hearts and open our minds, Lord, to hear what you're saying to each one of us individually. Lord, and I just ask for aha moments, and Lord, for people to hear you say to them individually the things that they need to hear, Lord, so that we can all move forward as the body of Christ. And I just pray your peace and your blessing on each one here. Father, erase any lies that we've believed about who you really are. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, even though I have been in church, I shared last week how I came to know the Lord when I was 10 years old and grew up in church. But I didn't realize until I got into my mid-30s that I really had a distorted view of who God really was. I could quote a lot of scripture. I knew a lot of history from the Bible. I knew I'd gone to different Bible studies and sat under some great teachers. Knew a lot in my head, but there was something missing in my heart. And what it was, I was lacking experiencing him on a daily basis. I went in kind of to check the box versus relationship. And you know, there's a big difference when we understand who he really is and who he really wants to be for me in my life. I know a lot about President Obama, President Trump, but I've never really met them. I've never had dinner with them. I've never sat down with them and said, I want to really hear your heart about X, Y, and Z. I just know about them. Do you see the correlation? I think that oftentimes we can have a more academic understanding of God, and some of that may not actually be accurate than we do that real abiding relationship where we spend time, where we listen, just like it was spoken tonight, listening to hear what does he have to say. And it's when we do that and we experience him that we can move out in a greater confidence. Some of my distorted view was from just relationship with my earthly father. I thought of God like I thought of my dad, and that was the image I had of God, which led to, my dad was a great man. He loved the Lord. He parented, I think, like his father parented him. And one of the things, though, my dad would do was if I got in trouble or I did something wrong, he would like withdraw his spirit or withdraw his heart from me. And I would spend days trying to get back into his good graces. And that led to a very performance-based life for me. Okay, I'm loved when I do good. Therefore, if I do bad, I'm not loved. And that's really kind of how I looked at things with God. And it was my perception, but it wasn't the right perception of who God's heart was really for me. Maybe your dad was distant and traveled all the time. Maybe your dad was not there at all. Maybe you don't even know who he is. I talked to somebody just last week, and he said, I don't even know who my dad was. He said, my mom worked in bars, and she didn't even know who my dad is. The man doesn't know. Maybe your dad was not affectionate, or he didn't really ever tell you very much or at all that he loved you. I talked to somebody else last week and they said, my dad's 87, but he's just in the last year told me he loves me. And that was a grown man who had grown up as a little boy and as a grown man and hadn't heard those words from his dad. And a number of years ago, we were singing a song in church. It was a song which was God is good all the time, God is good. It had a little catchy tune. Some of you might remember it. It was kind of a little jingle. And I would stand there in church when they would sing that song, and I would think, that is just a hokey song. I mean, I'd kind of, just being honest, you're going to get the real deal with me. I mean, I did, and I was like, I'm not singing it. I'm not going to fake it because I'm just not. That's not who I am. And I really couldn't sing it because I really wasn't convinced that God was good. I looked at my circumstances. I looked at some of the bad things that had happened, some of the things that had happened that I had prayed for and didn't turn out the way I wanted, and made a judgment, really, of, well, no, God isn't good all the time. Maybe he is for that person and that person and that person, but somehow I missed that line. And so I couldn't sing it. I really couldn't, because I wasn't gonna fake it. And I love to worship. I was on worship team for years. But God began to rearrange things in my thinking. You see, and if you're taking notes tonight, this is right where you're going to be able to fill in some blanks. What you think about God, God goes in that first blank, is the most important thought you will ever have. What you think about God is the most important thought you'll ever have. His primary purpose is making us into his image. He loves us so much, and he has so much in store for us. And so he's always working in our lives, and we have an opportunity to partner with him and to walk with him and learn those things and understand how much he loves us. He wants us to understand how much he loves us. And that was a big block for me. I felt like he loved everybody else, but I wasn't really sure, if I was gut level honest, that he really loved me, just for who I was, on the good days, on the bad days, every day of the week. And why is this so important? And it sounds like a real simple statement, but here's why it's so important. It's hard to trust somebody when you don't know how much they love you. I mean, when you trust what's really valuable, it's hard to trust somebody if you don't know that they've got your back. You know what I'm talking about? And that was the big block in my life. And I've shared it before, but I was in my 30s, leading a Bible study with my late husband and another couple. And we were talking about faith and having a vision, God's vision, and trust. And it said, if you don't really understand how much God loves you, you won't be able to trust him. And at that time in my life, I was a control freak. I was trying to control all of these things because really there were fears in me that if I don't do this and don't do this, this will happen. So I was trying to really play God, if you want to call it what it is. But that began a journey, and I made that statement that night, and a prayer. And I said, Lord, I need to know how much you love me. And so there was a series of events that began to happen in my life that really opened my eyes to understand how much God loved me. So what is God's nature? What is his character? Well, the true nature of God is evidenced in the fruit of the Spirit. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 5:22. And this is how God is always to us. This fruit is in us because we are made. The Bible tells us we're made in His image. Therefore, His DNA is in us. And that's a whole different lesson on just cultivating that fruit in our lives. But it's who He is. Right here is evidenced. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. You know, fruit is evidence. You know what kind of tree is by if it's producing apples, oranges, you know, pomegranates, or acorns. You look at the fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit, or another way to say this would be the character of God, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or long-suffering is another word for that, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And so if you want to know who God's nature is, what He's really like, it's evidenced right here, and it's listed right here in the fruit of the Spirit. And this is stated really throughout Scripture. Let's jump into some of this. If you want to flip to it, we're going to go a little fast. I've actually typed it out, so because I thought the lesson would take too long if I was trying to flip to all of these. But Psalms 103 says, and this is another statement about who God is. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. So who is God? He's a God that cares about what's going on in your life. He cares when your heart hurts. He wants you to bring it to Him. And one of my prayers is when something happens or something hurts my heart, is to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, that hurts. And I choose to forgive so-and-so. Now heal my heart. See, sometimes we can go through we can make that choice to forgive, but our heart still needs some healing. It still needs some healing. The Lord is compassionate. He's gracious. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's not quick-tempered. And He's abounding in love. He's got plenty of love. He's got plenty of love every day. His love and His mercies are new every morning. 1 John 4, verses 8 through 10 tells us this. It says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You can't earn God's love. You've already got it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. It's free. So many of us, I think, need to take time to listen, to hear it, to spend time with Him, to just be with Him. What else, you know, what else is in God's nature? Well, He's joyful. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, He is happy, in this paraphrased, He's happy to see us. He makes our path known. This scripture says, you fill me with joy in your presence. There's joy in God's presence. It says, and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So there's joy. Have you ever been around someone and they just got joy? They just have joy. And sometimes you're just like, man, I need some of that. I need some of that. But he's joyful. And so, you know, I think so many times we run to somebody or we run to something or we run to whatever is our vice versus when we need joy or we need love or we need compassion, running to the Lord. And another characteristic of God is he's kind. Jeremiah 9 and verse 24, it says, "But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." So God right there makes the statement about who he is. I am the Lord, and I exercise kindness. I exercise, and you know, of course, we're here at the Croc Center where people exercise, and I come up to exercise, and today I'm up here doing a TRX class and thought of my, you know, muscles. I thought, man, this is, it was aching, you know. But I just thought of that, of how he exercises kindness. What if we went around trying to build up our kindness muscle to who we can be kind to, especially those that aren't kind to us? But he's kind. It also says in Psalms 118 and 29, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." It says right there that he's good. In Psalm 119 and verse 68 says, "You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees." Romans 2 and verse 4 talks about his kindness. It says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness," or goodness, "tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance?" Have you ever thought about how it's the kindness of God that leads someone to repentance? When you see, have you ever had, you haven't been kind, you haven't been nice, and then somebody's just nice back to you? It kind of diffuses things, doesn't it? And that's the way God is. Even we can sin, we can do things that aren't honoring to him. We're going to mess up. We're human, we're just human beings. And even though we have good intentions, sometimes we can fail. But God never gives up on us. And he never quits smiling at us. And it's his kindness that leads us to repent. In the last couple of weeks, there was something that happened. And, you know, I just thought, man, I wish I would have responded differently to that. And there was just knowing that God's there. You know, when you make a mistake. And that was a big learning curve for me, because what would happen when I would make a mistake, I would think I am a mistake. Thinking I was a human doing versus a human being. And God wants us to know he's right there. When we mess up, run to him and just say, "God, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me." And get back up. He's not distancing himself from you. So quit beating yourself up. Another part of the character of God is he's peace. He's peaceful. In Isaiah 9, you hear this scripture, 9 verse 6. You hear it a lot around Christmas time. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Right there is that declaration. He's the Prince of Peace. And that's a whole nother part of my testimony of who God was for me in a really difficult time, was understanding how he was the God of peace. And I had that God-given right to walk in peace in the midst of when my world was unraveling around me. So if we need peace, my question to you is, why don't we run to him? Because in his presence is joy and peace. And so if you're lacking in those things, I encourage you to run more to the Lord, because he wants to be your Prince of Peace. He wants to give you some of his peace. Another aspect of who God is he's gentle. Last semester, we did a lesson on the power of gentleness, and we studied gentleness and what the scripture has to say. And one of the things we learned was in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Jesus declares right there that he's gentle. It's part of his character. It's part of who he is. And he wants us to learn from him, because sometimes we can get stressed out, we can get anxious, we can get running around, and we forget that we can access a God who's gentle and who's humble in heart. He's faithful. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord is God. The Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant of love 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." I had a woman come up to me that just this week, and she said, "Did you know I got a divorce?" I said, "No, I didn't know that." And she said, "Yeah." She said, "He just quit loving me. He just quit loving me." And she said, "It broke my heart. He just said one day he didn't like me, he didn't love me." And it broke her heart. The love we have from God, it says right here in Deuteronomy that he's a covenant keeper. And he keeps his covenant of love. There's not anything you can do that he's going to quit loving you. And there's not anything he won't forgive. What happens is oftentimes when there's hurt, there's failure, there's disappointment, people blame God and they distance themselves from him when he's the very one that they need the most. And another thing that I love about the character of God is he is always with us. And that's Psalm 73:23. He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And he says, "Nevertheless, I will be with you." In other words, nevertheless, that word right there, nevertheless, when things don't turn out the way you planned, nevertheless, I'm going to be with you. "But Lord, you want me to do this? Lord, you want me to lead? Well, I've always thought I did this." No, I'm calling you, Debbie, to lead. "But nevertheless, I'll be with you." That's his promise to us, is he's going to be with us. And that's something we can hang on to when there's nothing else to hang on to. He's always gracious, always good, always restful. He's powerful. He's our hiding place. He's compassionate. He's merciful and forgiving. He's generous. He's consistent. He's unchangeable. These characteristics of God are not going to change. He never gets disillusioned about us, because he never had any illusions at all. I heard this week, somebody talking. I was listening to a live interview with William P. Young, who wrote The Shack, and he made the comment. He said, people have expectations, and you know what expectations are. And the lady interviewing him said, no, what are expectations? He goes, oh, they're just disappointments waiting to happen. And I thought, that's so true, because there's a scripture in Psalms that says, put your expectation only in me. Amen. And God's telling us, we put expectations in people and things, and oftentimes that leads to disappointments and then causes us to withdraw our spirits. He never gets disillusioned. He knows everything about us, and he has seen the worst in us and still loves us dearly. And here's a big key. How you see him is how you're going to see yourself. Because we talked last week about how this is part of our identity. Now, does that mean that I am always faithful, gentle, peaceful, joyful, all of those things all the time? No, but I'm practicing and I'm getting a little bit better. And that's what God asks us to do, is to partner with him and to practice. And guess what? The longer you practice something, the better you get at it. Years ago, and this was like in 2007, 2008, I listened to a guy named Graham Cook talk about the nature of God. And when I heard it the first time, somehow in my heart, I just knew I needed to get this down. And I would listen to this recording for... I would listen to it over and over again. I'd put it on in the morning when I was doing my makeup and hair and brushing my teeth, and I'd listen to it. There was just something in me. It's like, I got to get this down. I got to work this into the fabric of my life. I've got to understand his character and his nature, because there's something about it I need to get. Have you ever just thought, I got to get this? You don't know why, you just have to do it. And so I listened to it for probably a year, year and a half. Debbie had it too. I think one of Debbie's daughters got it, and Debbie brought it, and have you heard this? And I was like, oh my goodness, I got to get this down. So I played it over and over and over and over and over. I thought, I got to get this in my heart. And I did. I began to understand it and believe it, that God was good. And I could see how... in years, things I judged him for, God, that I judged God for, I could see how, but he was right there with me in that. And he really helped me come through that. And I'm a better person because he walked with me through that. And so here I am listening to this, and God's reshaping my thinking. And then in January 8th of 2009 was when my husband was diagnosed with a very rare cancer. And my life changed forever. But in that place, when the news began to unravel about his disease and what we were fighting, and apart from a miracle, that was really his chance, somehow in that there was an unshakable confidence in me that I could tell you at that point in my life I knew three things. I really knew by then God loved me. I really knew he was faithful. I had seen his faithfulness to me throughout the years. And I really knew he was with me. I didn't know anything else. Life was very uncertain during those days because we didn't know. There was so much we didn't know. MD Anderson didn't have a clue in really how to treat his kind of cancer. Two in a million get it. So there wasn't a real protocol. But somehow, I look back now and listening to that CD on the nature of God, it forever changed me because I began to understand his nature. And so I want to encourage you to take these scriptures, and they're all listed. You don't even have to write them down. They're in your notes. And really chew on them. Meditate on them. Ask God, what is it you really want me to understand about who you want to be for me right now in my life, in this situation, whatever your situation is in your life? And I'll tell you, through those years and then losing him and then trying to pick up the pieces and the ashes of my life, one of the things I discovered was God was the best friend I ever had. He was always available. And I have some really great friends who've been really good to me throughout the years. But God's been that faithful friend and the best friend I've ever had. He's always happy to see me. Always. He's cheering me on in whatever it is. And I love and just marvel. I got a phone call Sunday. Sunday afternoon, I was writing, and this girl called me. I had met her years ago and don't even really know her, but I met her years ago when I was traveling for work. And my heart went out to her, and I just spoke some things to her and prayed with her. And she called me out of the clear blue, and she said, I have to tell you this. And she just began to encourage my heart. And that was God. Do you see, that was God having her stop her day and call me right then, because I was working on trying to put some things together. And the things that she said, it could only be God. It could only be God. God is the best at comforting us on the tough days. And he's the best at helping us walk through adversity and loss. And so why is it, and this is in your notes to fill out, why is it important that we understand God's character? Because it governs how we think about life, our difficulties, and ourselves. It governs how we think about life, our difficulties, and ourselves. The nature of God has produced an unshakable confidence in me. And he's calling you, he's calling me to represent him. It's not just for somebody else. He's calling you, and he's wanting to raise us all up because he wants to use us. See, and Graham Cook says this, what God has called us to as believers is beyond us. His call is outrageous and impossible. Have you ever had God say, I want you to teach Sunday school to junior high people? I mean, really, you know? I mean, or teach junior high people. Mary Lou did it, and she's still living, so I don't know. You know, God's call on our lives is really outrageous, and it's impossible at times. But he just says, I want to go with you. I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to help you. But we have to trust his nature. And until we can trust his nature, we're not going to get out of the boat and take the steps that he wants us to take. And it's not just for me doing this right here. He's calling and stretching each and every one of us. You can always know that you're loved and you're chosen by God and that he's good. He's consistent in his character, but unpredictable in what he'll do next. How many of you are like, well, I never saw that coming? I could raise my hand lots of times on that. Never, never. He doesn't always tell us what he's up to and what it's going to look like. I shared last week of how in 2015 I wrote down in my journal, the Lord began to speak to me about the gathering. And I looked at the things I wrote in my journal that morning, and I was like, well, that looks kind of like a community Bible study. People of different faiths, people of different races, people coming together, people to learn things of everyday life with God. But I prayed for 3 years, God show me how, when, why, how is this going to work? What God was calling me to was beyond me. I couldn't even comprehend and wrap my mind around what it looked like. And I just prayed for his timing. And then the Lord opened the door in 2018 and the pieces began to come together. That wasn't wasted time. And we're going to talk more about waiting on God in the days ahead. I think that's one of our lessons. You know, Moses is our example. He's our example of somebody who God called them to something that was beyond them. I mean, Moses, he's out there. He stuttered. He had murdered a man. And God calls him up one day and says, "Hey, Mo, hey, I want you to be a powerful deliverer." You know? And I can just see Moses going, "What? You got to be kidding. You got the wrong guy. I'm out here hiding in the desert." You know? But that's who God began to declare to Moses who he was. And God declares to Moses, "I am that I am." You know, because Moses is like, "Well, you want me to go to Pharaoh? Well, who am I supposed to tell him sent me? Tell him I am that I am. He'll know I am." And I'd be kind of like, "Okay, I just don't know." You know, God was calling him to lead a people out of bondage. There are people all around us that need the freedom we have in Christ. They don't even know it sometimes. And then Moses has another encounter with God, and he has the opportunity to go into the tabernacle, and that's Exodus 33, 7 and 11. And Moses has a little bit more intimacy with God. And Moses asks this question. He says, "Show me your glory. Show me who you really are." And then in Exodus 34, here's what this verse says. Exodus 34, verse 6. And I'm really going fast through this, but you can look up and reference, go back and read all of that if you want. "Then the Lord came down in the cloud, and he stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.'" Wow, that's pretty powerful. God declares right there who he is. And you know, it's oftentimes in the desert times that we really discover who God is. At least that's the way it's been in my life. It's not that way for everybody. We're all different. But it's when God takes us, I think, at times and allows us to be in that desert place in our life that we begin to know his heart, because oftentimes that's all we have to really depend on. How many of you can say people have let me down? Yeah, people can let us down. But Hosea 2, verse 14 and 15 says, "Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness to speak tenderly to her. There, I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she will respond as is in the days of her youth." Do you see, it's when oftentimes we're in that desert place. I lost my husband not too long after that. My mother's health was failing. My dad's health began to fail. I mean, 6 weeks after my husband was gone, my dad was in Texan Heart Hospital with a 90% blockage. I literally was like, I'm not quite sure how to put one foot in front of the other to keep going, because it was almost, it was my desert place. It was a lot to be looking at one time. But it was in that desert place, folks, that I want to encourage you that you'll find God if you run to him. And it's out of that I'm able to speak now with an authority, with more of an experience of who God was. When my prayers didn't get answered, the way I wanted them to. But it's in that place that God can work deep things into that, where it's not something I can read. It's something I know that I know that I know because I lived it in walking with Him. And it says right there, I will give back. I will give to her back her vineyards. God is going to give back where there's been loss. He promises. Hard, yes. That was a hard time. Watching tumors grow on a man I'd loved for 33 years was gut-wrenching. That's the only way I know to describe it. But God was faithful, and He was good to me in that time. So whatever adversity you're in, whatever heartbreak you have, God wants to draw you close to Him and say, I want to show you things that you don't know yet about me. I want to show you things about my character. And I saw Him meet my need. I saw Him do things that just showed me He was kind. One day I remember showing up at home, and it had been a hard day at work, and I was tired, I was exhausted, I was lonely. I had to bring in the trash can. I wondered when the trash fairy was going to come to my house because my husband always took out the trash, and now I had to do it. I mean, and it was a mountain, I'm just telling you folks, because I got a long driveway. But I came home that day, and somebody had just put sunflowers on my front door, these beautiful sunflowers all wrapped with a ribbon. And I don't even know to this day who it was, but it was God just saying, I know you like flowers. And here, something special for you. Run to God. God always wants to declare something about Himself in whatever situation we're in. So ask God, if you're in a tough time, don't ask God why. Why me? Why this? Why now? Why did this happen? Ask what? God, what do you want to work in me? And what do you want to work out with out of me? Because He will answer that. I can't tell you why. I struggled with the why question when my mom got sick. That was a big hurdle for me. I could not understand why she didn't get well. I really didn't. She really had a lot of people praying for her. Very godly woman, led lots of kids to the Lord. She was a children's church leader, a powerhouse. And I really struggled with the why question. And a gentleman one day said to me, Kathleen, the real question is, can you trust God if He never gives you an answer? And I looked, I was on the phone with him. I was standing on my back porch. I said, I don't know. I got to get back to you on that one. I mean, I was being honest. I really needed to wrestle with that. And I came back a little bit later and I called him up and I said, yes, I can. I might not get the answer. And when my husband got sick, I never to this day have asked God why. But I have asked Him what. What do you want to work in me and what do you want to work out of me? Because I didn't want to waste that pain. Your intimacy, and this is one of your blanks to fill in, your intimacy with God is the most powerful weapon. When we move into a deeper place with God, the stress flows out of our life. The antidote to stress and crisis is upgraded fellowship with God. And see, what happens is when we have more intimacy, then we have more favor. We have more favor, and doors can begin to open for us. So for us, it's cultivating that lifestyle of His presence and talking to Him and abiding with Him and being with Him throughout our day. And that's how we can walk in times when it's crazy. I'll tell you right now, my recent practicing, I decided in June that I needed to do some updating on the house. And I needed to get it painted. It hadn't been painted in years and years. And I needed a new roof. We had some water damage. And I needed new carpet. And I went down to a local store and they said, 7 day, this, you know, from when you order and pay for it, it'll be installed. And I'm like, perfect. got the painters lined up. Of course, that took longer than it should have. And so my house began to physically be upside down in June. And in July, I paid for the carpet, July 28th to be exact. And it was to be installed in August, August 17th. And guess what? It actually got finished today. Wow. Now, this took a lot of patience. And when I would get on the phone and I would want to be yesterday when they said that they couldn't come yesterday and I'd scheduled it and I had driven back from out of town to be here and changed my schedule umpteen times, I told the lady, I said, I am trying to be a really nice lady about this, but my house has been upside down for 2 months, and this had a 7-day, it was supposed to be installed. Can you understand my surprise? And can you imagine my surprise and that I'm not real happy that it's not going to be installed today? And she said, oh, yes, ma'am, and you have been very patient. And I just thought, yeah, but I'm really, really stretched. This is stretching me a lot, you know. But they came today, and it is finished. My house is still upside down, but it's finished. I had to draw on God's presence, okay? I had to draw on who He is. I want to be like Him. And guess what we just read? He's long-suffering. But really, folks, it shouldn't take 2 months. I don't have a big house. It's a small house. Anyway, I'm happy. I'm happy it's done. Oh, anyway. But we must live in a place where God is supreme. He's bigger than any problem we have. And how are we going to trust His nature? And even in that, and that's not life-shattering. I mean, you know, it's paint, it's carpet. But even in that, I just had to say, okay, Lord, you know my goal was to have this, because I told my husband everything will be finished and done before dove season starts, because that's when we spend all the time in Uvalde, September 1st, September 24th. And so, anyway, nevertheless, He's been with me. And those people are still alive. I didn't go ballistic. I'm going to close with a quote from Graham Cook, because that's who I really learned so much about the nature of God from. And it says, when you trust your present, your future, your destiny to the God who loves you, who is committed to loving you on your worst days and walk with you through them, your heart can be at rest in peace. When we rely on His character and integrity, it is the source of your great happiness. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you really are. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your gentleness. Thank you for your kindness, especially when we don't deserve it. Thank you for your faithfulness and your long suffering with us. And Father, we just come to you tonight and we all want to be like you. Lord, we know, Lord, deep in our heart of hearts, Father, that you're calling us to be an army that rises up, that helps people, that, Lord, does what you're calling us to do in our sphere of influence, and then you expand it. So help us to be faithful like you. Help us to understand more of who you are so we can understand more of who we are and who you're calling us to be, so we can represent you well. You deserve to be represented well. Thank you for each one listening, and ask that you bless them super abundantly above what they could ask or think, and bless their families, bless their businesses, bless them for the time they're spending here with you to learn about you. In Jesus' name, amen.